Amen. Well, our title tonight is Prayers That Open the Doors of Heaven, Parts 1. I missed that on the pro presenter, but this is Part 1. We'll continue on with the second part in a couple of weeks, but let's pray for the word tonight. Heavenly Father, what would we do without your word that you have given to us that is bread to our bodies and that releases the key of spiritual knowledge and truths into our lives? And tonight, we honor you, God, first and foremost, and we honor your word and the truths that you have called us to, and we pray that every ear would be open tonight, O Lord. Open our hearts, that we would receive all that you want to do in our lives tonight, O God. We just pray that you would release your voice and that we would be hearers and doers of your word tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 19. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." These verses in Matthew chapter 16, they are emphasizing God's focus for our lives, which is always his kingdom. God's desires, his commands, they are always pointed towards strengthening and advancing his church and his kingdom in the earth. God has a deep passion, has a deep desire for souls. He longs that his Holy Spirit would be released into every heart across the nations of the world, that every heart would receive his salvation, that every heart would receive an awakening to the power of our intimacy with him, that we would understand our role in building the kingdom and the church of God. And God shows his desire here in these verses to give his people keys of blessing and spiritual life that will propel his kingdom forward. In verse 19, Jesus tells us that the keys of the kingdom, they will open the doors of heaven and will advance God's kingdom powerfully. In the natural, keys are used to open doors. Without them, we are locked out. In the spiritual, it is the same. We must use the spiritual keys to open the victory of God, to open the blessings of the Lord over our lives. And this passage here is related to our prayer lives in a tremendous way. It is the avenue of prayer that causes us to use the keys of the kingdom effectively, and the doors of heaven will be opened for us. Most of you are aware probably that Pastor Ron has written a little book that is called The Five Keys of the Kingdom. He outlines these keys and speaks to us about how these keys are the ways in which we live to ensure that God's church, that his kingdom is made strong and built through us. The avenue of prayer is what causes the doors of heaven to be opened over us. And the keys of the kingdom, they are love and unity, prayer and fasting, praise and worship, a deep hunger for the word of God, a deep love for the house of the Lord. And right after Jesus teaches on the importance of us possessing these keys, he ties in the aspect of binding and loosing on earth and heaven. This binding and this loosing that he speaks about is referring to our prayers, which open the doors of heaven, whereby God releases his will on earth. When we hear the phrase binding and loosing, it is most often associated with spiritual warfare, which means different things to different people sometimes. And I'm very careful when I use this phrase because I believe that there are some who are overly focused on this aspect in their lives. The Bible gives teaching that there are spiritual forces of darkness and principalities that are at war against our kingdom effectiveness, that are at war against us being effective in building the church of God. I have endeavored tonight to present you with a biblical and a simple application to our lives. Jesus connects our prayers of binding and loosing with these keys because he recognizes that there are hindrances that keep God's kingdom, that keep the church of God from being strong and being built in the earth. In Luke 11, 52, Jesus gives a warning to the religious leaders saying this, "Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered." There is an important key of spiritual knowledge and understanding that God wants us to possess. And according to our passage in Matthew chapter 16, prayer is a part of this key of spiritual knowledge. It is one of the greatest avenues whereby the doors of heaven and the power of God are released over our lives. We must always seek a deeper spiritual knowledge, a deeper understanding regarding our role in prayer. In Luke chapter 11, God's kingdom was hindered from advancement because the key of spiritual knowledge had been taken away from the people. They were unable to enter into the blessing and the victory of the Lord. In Isaiah 5:13, it says that God's people entered into captivity because they had no knowledge. They had no understanding. There is a spiritual dryness. There is a captivity that we must guard our lives against. We must obtain this key of spiritual knowledge and understanding and use it properly in our lives. The key of spiritual knowledge is the Word of God, and the Lord is urging us that we combine our prayers with the truths of the Word of God. We must recognize the hindrances, what they look like. We need to recognize the hindrances, the areas that at times need to be locked up, the areas that need to be bound, and we must pray against them. And we must then ask the Lord to loose his power, to release his power over these areas. The areas that hinder God's kingdom from being strong, that hinder the church of God from advancing in the earth, that hinder the spiritual victory and blessing of the Lord in our lives. These areas that hinder this, they are clear in Scripture. We read about them in passages such as Galatians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 13, 1 John chapter 2, and I could go on and on. In the natural, we war against our sinful, selfish nature. And in the supernatural, we war against the forces of Satan. And we need to recognize, church, both of these realms that are warring against our lives. An example of this would be if love and unity is hindered from being evidence in our lives. If we allow anger and unforgiveness to reside in our hearts, love and unity cannot reside at the same time. It is being hindered from being released out of us. In the natural realm, there are self-help books. There are lots of tools online that we can look to that will give us practical tips and tools on how to overcome the fleshly nature and how to overcome this area in our lives. There are lots of teachings regarding this. We can start to think before we speak. Some obvious things. We can bite our tongues before we say something that we're going to regret. But these things, they only deal with the outward expressions of the anger and the unforgiveness. The root of anger, the root of unforgiveness is still residing in our hearts. It will still eat away at us. We need to use our supernatural weapons to bind the selfish nature, to be set free from the roots of the sin and the work of Satan against us. And once we bind these areas through prayer, we can then also pray that God would loose his power of love and unity to move in a beautiful way according to his word. And in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is admonishing us to bind the emotions, to bind the negative spirits that are at work against our kingdom effectiveness. The greatest avenue by which the keys of the kingdom are released in our lives and by which the doors of heaven are opened for us is the avenue of our prayers, asking the Lord to bind and to loose. When it comes to the subject of prayer, we really could speak about this for several months. There is so much to be learned and so much to be encouraged in this area. God has given us tremendous insight in His Word regarding the urgency of our prayers, how to strengthen our prayers, the importance of fanning the flame of God's holy fire upon our prayers, upon our warfare prayers, that they would push back the powers of darkness, that the full glory and the light of Christ would shine upon His people. And it is true that God longs to change us as we pray. This really is one of the greatest reasons why He calls us to pray, so that He can change us in our prayers. You see, it's only by His mercy that He draws us. It is only by the abounding grace of the Lord that He allows us to stand in the Holy of Holies and pray to Him. And tonight, the truth is that God longs to soften the hearts of His people. He longs for a holy desire to know Him, to spread across the nations of the world. He longs to loose His salvation. He longs that this would happen for the furtherance of His kingdom. I pray that we would be encouraged tonight to strengthen our weapon of prayer as we combine it with the key of knowledge, the Word of God. Prayer is one of the greatest avenues by which Christ builds His church. Leonard Ravenhill said this: prayer is not a preparation for the battle, it is the battle. And isn't that the truth? Have you ever felt that battle against your prayer life? Good intentions. You have a desire to set a certain time aside to pray to the Lord, and all of a sudden the phone rings. You get an email. Something happens. A distraction comes. You feel weak. Unbelief begins to set in. Discouragement begins to set in. And before you know, the days have gone by. The prayers have become less and less. There is a battle that wages against our prayer lives. Smith Wigglesworth says this: when the saint ceases to seek after holiness, purity, righteousness, truth, when he ceases to pray, stops reading the Word, and gives way to carnal appetites, it is then that Satan comes. And isn't this the truth? We must not shrink back from praying fervently for God's kingdom and His will to be done. The enemy will do his best to distract us, to tempt us. He will do his best to try to keep us silent, to try to keep the spiritual key of knowledge regarding the urgency of our prayers from us. I am so thankful for the prayer services in this house. God said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." And I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of the saints that gather week after week in pre-service prayer. There is a priority upon this house. God really is moving. But church, we must sharpen this weapon even more than it already is tonight. Our passage from Matthew, it reveals the importance of prayer in order for the doors of heaven to be opened and the power of God to be loosed. Number one tonight, our prayers must reflect our revelation of Christ. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 17. When Jesus came into the region, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Jesus asked the question, "Who do men say that I am?" And in all fairness, the disciples responded to this particular question by telling him who the men say that he is. "Well, some say that you are Elijah. Some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you are one of the prophets." The "some" that the disciples were referring to here, they only had a measure of faith regarding who Jesus really was. They only had a measure of the revelation of who Jesus Christ actually was. And so Jesus then asked the question, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And when Peter said to him, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God, it signified his submission to Jesus as being Lord over his life. And Jesus commended Peter for his response, for he had truly received from God the full revelation of who Jesus was and his power. And Jesus asks the same question of every single one of us. He says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Christ is? When you find yourself at school, when you find yourself in your home, in the midst of a difficult situation, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of doubt and fear, who do you say that Christ is in your life? And this might be an obvious answer tonight for most of us, for some of us, but the truth really is this, that if we truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if we truly believe what the Word of God says about who Jesus is, that he came to save us from our sins, that he came to set us free from every chain that would ever try to attach itself to our lives, if we truly believe that Jesus is our healer, that Jesus is our provider when it seems as though we have no idea where the provision is coming from, if we truly believe tonight that he is our banner, that he is our refuge, our safety, our strong tower, that he is our peace, if we believe tonight what the scriptures say, that Jesus is able to make a way where there seems to be no way, if we believe that Jesus truly can soften the hardest of hearts, if we believe that he desires and he is able to save the hardest of hearts, if we believe this, then our prayers ought to reflect a level of faith and a level of expectancy according to what the Word of God says that Jesus is and his power and his authority. Our prayers should reflect a level of faith and a level of expectancy according to who Christ is in our lives. May we examine our prayer life tonight. Do our prayers truly reflect the power and the name and the person of Jesus? Is he Lord of our lives? Do we approach him in all humility? In all surrender, out of a thankfulness for the cross, in all submission to his lordship, to his love, to his sacrifice and mercy, are our prayers full of faith according to his authority and his power? May our prayers be prayed in the name of Jesus, always for the glory of God, that his kingdom would come and his will would be done. Number two tonight, our prayers must bind the spiritual powers of darkness. Verses 18 to 19, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. When Jesus was pleased with Peter's response, showing his submission to the Lord, showing his surrender and his trust in the Lord, he then promised him that he would be given the keys of the kingdom. And right after this, he teaches on this aspect of prayer, of binding and loosing. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. There are areas in our lives that we at times will need to lock, that we at times will need to bind. That this word bind here, it means to tie, to fasten, to throw into chains. And we need to pray and ask the Lord to bind the negative thoughts, the negative emotions that are hindering God's power from moving in our lives. The sinful nature and the attacks of the enemy, they are clear in Scripture. Pride, fear, jealousy, strife, temptations towards ungodly entertainments. We must pray that the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, would help us to lock or to bind these emotions and attitudes, the pride of life, the workings of Satan, so that they do not hinder the work and the power of God and his church. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 6, familiar verses to us. Paul says, "By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold towards you when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And listen to this. "We will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." In verse 1, Paul spoke in humility and gentleness of Christ. This is really important that we understand this, that we do not pray and we do not bind in our own authority, in our own power and strength, but instead we must pray in humility and in the authority of Jesus himself. We do not have all of the authority in and of ourselves, separate from the name and separate from the authority of Jesus Christ, to bind the spiritual forces of darkness, to just overcome. We have not been given this authority. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And in Luke 10, 19, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Though we are given a measure of authority, we must always pray in humility and under the authority of Christ. I say this in all gentleness tonight, but there are some people who seem to be drawn to the realm of spiritual warfare, and perhaps who place too much emphasis on the binding of evil spirits. Jesus warned us here in Luke 10, verse 20, "Do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." In other words, do not focus on the realm of the enemy. Do not live your life seeking out the demonic spirits that you must trample upon. We are not called to be devil seekers in our lives. We must exercise proper interpretation and the proper prayer focus. Our prayer focus is always on Jesus. It is always on building the kingdom of God. It is always for his glory and for his name's sake. The focus is always on pursuing love, humility, and surrender to the name of Jesus. May our prayers always reflect honor and surrender, even in our warfare prayers. There will be times, the Word of God tells us, there will be times where we will be called to pray against, to bind the spiritual forces of the enemy, to push back the powers of darkness through our prayers. But we must always do this in a manner of complete submission to the Lord, giving him glory at all times. James reminds us, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Submission to God comes first. May they reflect our revelation of Christ, and may our prayers ask the Lord to bind the spiritual powers of darkness for his kingdom to grow. In a couple of weeks, we will continue on with the kinds of prayers that we must loose in order for the doors of heaven to be opened over us. Let's have the worship team come at this time, please. Psalm 78, verse 23, it also speaks to how God opens the doors to heaven, and he pours out his provision and his power. The verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, They tell us that the weapons we fight with, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Verses 5 to 6, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. There are hindrances. Listen, there are things that are working in your life specifically tonight that are hindering you, that are trying to hinder you, that are trying to keep you silent, that are trying to keep your prayers from moving forward. There are hindrances that are trying to keep us from being effective in living lives of holiness, in praying the prayers that are powerful and effective. There are hindrances that are trying to keep us in praying prayers that honor God and that cause Him to move on our behalf for the sake of His kingdom. There are prideful spirits. There are disobedient acts. There are hardened hearts and unbelief that are waging war against you and I in our prayer lives. But notice verse 6 in 2 Corinthians 10. It says, we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Listen, there is an obedience that every single one of us are called to when it comes to our prayer lives. There is an obedience that we are called to separate our lives unto the holiness and the anointing of God that the Lord urges us to. I pray that we would hear this tonight and that we would understand what the Word of God says about this. That our level of holiness and our level of obedience to prayers, they absolutely will depend on how strong the church of God is, how strong the kingdom of God is. Our level of obedience to holiness and prayer will determine the strength of it. Our obedience to binding, our obedience to the weapon of prayer, to demolish these hindrances, is the key to our spiritual victory and breaking every power of darkness. Our obedience to the Word of God will give us authority to bind and to see the chains broken. It says, we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. We will be ready. We will be ready. The Holy Spirit will be ready. Jesus, on our behalf, will be ready to demolish every stronghold with the divine weapons that we have been given once our obedience is complete. Our obedience to holy living and to the spiritual weapons that we have been given, it causes the Lord to move on earth as it is in heaven. It causes the Lord to fling wide open the doors of heaven and to loose His power over our lives. We have to daily stand firm against. We have to daily resist and oppose Satan with the tools that God has given us: obedience, prayer, the sword of the Spirit, His Holy Spirit, and every weapon that is outlined for us in Ephesians chapter 6, according to the Word of God. God has given us a powerful weapon of prayer, an anointed spear, an authority under His name alone, whereby we demolish every attitude. We demolish and we tear down every prideful spirit in the name of Jesus. We tear down these things, the tactics of Satan, through our prayers of surrender and our prayers of faith according to who Christ is. The enemy is seeking to keep the key of spiritual knowledge and understanding regarding the urgency and importance of your prayers from you tonight. May we be encouraged tonight, church, to sharpen our spears. May we rise up in the revelation of God, of who Christ is, and pray that He would bind every fear. Pray that He would bind every unbelief, every inhibition that seeks to get a hold of God's people, that a greater passion for prayer would guide us in an even greater measure than it already has. I'm so thankful that this church is a praying church. May we never lose our spiritual fervor. May we always remain humble, church, and ask the Lord to continually lay His heart and His knowledge upon us and how He wants us to grow and to sharpen this weapon of prayer. Let's stand together tonight. I know there are places to go and places to be and whatnot on this evening, but I wonder if we could just take a moment and close ourselves in with the Lord. Would you, right where you are, ask Him to stir you afresh regarding your prayers? May we each examine our prayers afresh right now. Is it reflecting our revelation of Christ? Come on, do we pray prayers according to who Jesus Christ, the Son of God, really is? Do we pray in full faith? Let us ask the Lord by His mercy and by His power alone to bind any distraction right now. Go ahead and do that in your life, to bind any distraction, to bind any compromise, to bind any inhibition, any silence that has sought to keep you from being silent in your prayers. Holy Spirit, come and bind those things right now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said that you would build your church. You called us to bind and to loose, and so we bind these things right now that are hindering us from moving in the full force of your Holy Spirit. Pray tonight that you would release a deeper faith, a deeper revelation in the powers of our prayers. Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit over Christ City right now in this moment. So God, not in the future, but tonight, in this moment, we stand in your holy temple. We stand before you, O God, and we desire, we yearn after your word that says that you would build your church, that you would release your people, O God, that you would release the key of spiritual knowledge. And we pray right now that you would release that into our hearts. We lay our own desires down, and Lord, above everything else, we are asking tonight that you would break our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would break, our hearts for what breaks yours. Perhaps we've gotten comfortable in our prayer lives. Perhaps we've gotten comfortable in the miracles and what you have done. But Lord, let us never get comfortable. Lord, I pray that we would always lift up our anointed spears of prayers. Come and break our hearts, we ask tonight, O Lord. Our prayers are not about us, O God, but they are always about how you want to change us, how you want to open the doors of heaven so that your kingdom can advance. So we crucify the desires of our flesh right now. We're desperate for you to move. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven tonight, we pray. The altars are open. If you feel you want to come and pray for anything in particular, we encourage you to come. We love to pray with you. If you're here tonight and you have a specific need for anything, we're here to pray with you. But let's worship the Lord tonight. Let's ask Him to stir our hearts afresh tonight regarding our revelation of Him and the level of our prayers according to who He is tonight. Amen.